Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, bringing you an hour of comedy. Later on, it's Wednesdays with You from 1945, but first a broadcast of Fibber McGee and Molly, an NBC episode from March 19th, 1940.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat present Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly, with Bill Thompson, the King's Men, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with I Got Rhythm. Living room at 79 Wistful Vista, full of breakfast and contentment, all unaware that fate is coming up the walk in the form of a man with a bag on his back, and it isn't Santa Claus, we find Fibber McGee and Molly.
Now look, McGee, while I do up the breakfast dishes, why don't you take the car down to the garage and get that noise taken out of it?
I took it down yesterday. And you know what?
No, what?
Oh, this will slay you, Molly. I drove the car up to the garage and says, hey, I says, can somebody here take a noise out of this car? And the guy says, sure, he says. I'll have a mechanic ride on the running board and see if he can find it. I says, this car ain't got any running board. He says, well, thanks for telling me. I lose a lot of mechanics that way. Don't you get it, Molly? I said, no running.
It ain't funny, McGee.
Oh, well, it's whimsical. You see, the laugh comes where the fella falls off.
Oh, there's the mailman, dearie. Oh. Ask him how much airmail stamps are today.
Okay. I'll pinch a few first to see if they're fresh. Come in.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Here's some mail for you folks.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mailman. I'll take it.
All righty. Now, let me see. Here's something from the Bon Ton Department Store. That's just a circular. You don't want that.
What? Hey, what's the idea?
And here's your new Collier's. Very funny cartoon on page 26. At least there was. I tore it out so I could show it to my wife.
Hey, listen, bud. If all mailmen are like you, no wonder Farley's losing his hair. Why don't you just put...
I almost forgot. Here's a registered letter for you, Mr. McGee. You just sign right here.
Huh? Registered letter? Okay, bud.
Oh, who's it from, dearie?
From the City License Bureau.
Does it bother you if I read over your shoulder?
Yes, it does. Get out of here.
Oh, all righty. You can tell me about it tomorrow. Good day. Good day.
Heavenly days. What a snoopy mailman.
Mm.
McGee, what's the matter?
Dad-rat-ratted, long-eared, ham-handed, button-brained numbskulls. They can't do this to me.
Who can't do what?
Them mugs down to the city hall in the license bureau. They say we got to get a new license.
Oh, they do, do they?
Yeah.
Well, we can prove we were married fair and square, McGee. The idea after all these years.
No. Not a marriage license. A dog license.
We haven't got a dog.
Of course we ain't got a dog, but listen to this. Mr. Fibber McGee, 79 Wistful Vista. Unless you appear at this office within 2 days and obtain a 1940 license for your dog, we will be forced to proceed against you according to Section 1 of Paragraph 3 of City Ordinance 1781 in the old book. which carries a penalty of a $5,000 fine and or 3 years in jail. Oh, so they're going to prosecute me, are they? I'll show them pickle-puss politicians down there they can't pull no wool over my eyes.
Well, what shall we do?
I'll show you what we'll do. As the guy says when he tossed Darwin's book into the fireplace, they ain't going to make a monkey out of me. Give me the telephone.
Here.
Thanks. Hello, operator. Give me the city hall.
Oh, is that you, Mert?
Oh.
How's every little thing, Mert? What's that? Your little 10-year-old brother. Come staggering home plastered. Really got pie-eyed, eh, Mert?
Oh, how disgraceful.
No, the kid was in a pie-eating contest and got so plastered up with lemon meringue, he couldn't see where he was going. What say, Mert? Oh, never mind, Mert. I'll try it next week. Thanks.
Couldn't you get the city hall?
Nope. Mert says them politicians down at the city hall are so rushed these days you can't get a call through.
Well, why are they so rushed?
It's all on account of Izzy.
Izzy who?
Oh, you know. Is he going to run for a third term? Is he going to announce it soon? Is he playing possum? Stuff like that there.
I see. By the way, is there any law against a third term, dearie?
Nope, just tradition.
Oh, just tradition.
Yeah, and you know what that means. A tradition is an unwritten law that nobody dares to bust. On account of if they do, it'll be made into a written law, and somebody's liable to repeal it, and then the fat's in the fire.
Right.
You can't repeal a tradition. Say, that ain't bad. Remind me to write that down.
It is written down.
Where'd I write it?
You didn't write it. You read it.
Well, now, let me see. What was I doing? Oh, yes, that dog license. That rat, them guys. We ain't had a dog for 7 years.
Oh, has it been that long?
Well, I think so. See, now, we got that pup in 1912. Uncle Dennis dropped in for 2 days in 1922. Went home again in 1927. We started work for Johnson's Wax in 1935. Got our first belly laugh in 1938. Why, shucks, it was all of 7 years ago, Molly.
Well, I guess there's nothing to do but go down to the city hall and get it straightened out.
Tad rat it anyway. It seems like I'm always going down there to complain about something.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I heard Alderman Brorby say the other day that you were getting to be quite the moan about town. Well, let's go.
Okay, dear. I'll learn that mob of flag-waving baby kissers. They can't push Fibber McGee around. Come on, let's go, Molly. Dog license, dad, rat, dud, rat, and dog.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hello there, little girl. Now, don't bother us now, please.
Why?
I'm sore, that's why.
Oh, gee, that's too bad, mister.
Well, shucks.
If you weren't so big and I wasn't so little and we had a place to sit down, you could sit on my lap and tell me all about it.
Yeah, and if liver wasn't so good with bacon, we'd eat more eggs. Now, run along,
hey,
sis.
Hey, mister, hey.
What?
Hmm?
What do you want, sis? We're in a hurry.
I got an Esther bunny.
You mean Easter?
No, Esther. That's his name.
Oh.
I got Esther for Easter.
Did your mother buy it for you?
Sure. I asked her for Esther for Easter.
Reminds me of the time I was in Panama, sis. I crossed the isthmus on Christmas on business.
Hmm?
I'll let it go.
What, my rabbit? Gee, I guess I won't let Esther go, I betcha. He's a nice rabbit, and she's cute, too.
You're on the wrong show, sis. This sounds like the Battle of the Sexes.
Why?
Well, to be frank...
No, no, it's Esther. Frank is my goldfish.
Well, to be frank about Esther, you don't seem to be sure whether it's a buck or a doe.
She's both.
Oh, no, she isn't.
Oh, yes, she is.
Oh, no, she isn't.
Oh, yes, she... Well, gee, she cost my mama a buck, and that's a lot of dough these days. Go on, mister.
While
we're waiting for Fibber and Molly to return, I'd like your attention for just a minute. How many times during the year do you ask yourself, where does all this dust come from anyway? Well, dust comes from a lot of places. In your home, it comes mainly from the outdoors. Dust blown up from the fields and the streets and carried inside on shoes and clothing or by the breeze. Now, if you could live in a hermetically sealed house and never go outside, you could keep this dust out. But obviously, you can't do that. What you can do is to protect your floors, furniture, and woodwork with genuine Johnson's Wax.
Now that we're down here, let me do the talking, see? I'll show these City Hall dumbbells they can't push an honest taxpayer around. Hey, Bud, which way is the dog license bureau? Oh, hello there, old-timer.
Hello there, Johnny. Hello, daughter. Dog licenses?
Yep.
What kind of dog you got?
We haven't got a dog.
Then what you want a license for?
Dad, Raddatt, we don't want a license. We came down here to tell them we ain't going to buy one.
It's kind of silly, ain't it, Johnny? But on second thought, maybe I better go with you. I ain't got a dog either.
Now, look, Mr. Oldtimer, we received notice that we have to buy a 1940 dog license or be prosecuted. And we came down to protest.
Hey!
Oh, you're no help. But as the soda mint tablet says to the glass of water, I'm going to settle somebody's hash.
That's pretty good, Johnny. But that ain't the way I heard it.
No.
The way I heard it, Bob Hope says to Jerry Colonna, says, is it true that thousands of dentists recommend our toothpaste? Yep, says Colonna. That's what they keep telling them down at the orifice. Oh, dog licenses. Yeah, well, right down the hall, Johnny, and scratch at the door. So long, kid.
Scratch at the door. Why, that old stupo.
Well, here's the license bureau, McGee.
Okay. Hold my coat while I roll up my sleeve.
Oh, no, no, McGee, please. Let's try to settle this thing peaceably. Besides, you might get hurt.
All right. But remember, you talked me out of it. And the first wisecrack I get from one of these guys, wham, you sock him with your purse.
Now, wait, McGee. Promise me you'll keep your temper.
Well...
You frighten me when you fly into these rages. After all, you know, you're the killer type.
Am I really? Gee. Well, come on. I'll try to control myself.
Something for you, sir. Marriage license, building license, hunting or fishing license?
Nope, dog.
And we haven't got a dog.
Oh, then you want a license for a dog you're planning to get, is that it?
No, it isn't. We haven't had a dog for 7 years, and we don't want another dog.
Well, then why, madam, do you wish to get a dog license?
Dad, Raddatt, we don't want to get a dog license. That's what I come in here to tell you.
Now, excuse me, sir, but if every citizen came in to tell us he didn't want a dog license...
Oh, answer the phone.
Just a moment, please. License Bureau? Yes, madam. Yes, dog licenses are $2. Why, of course, I think you should have a dog. No, no, they're no trouble at all.
What?
Why, certainly not. Oh, what if they do track up your kitchen linoleum? Can I expect you in tomorrow for a dog license? Oh, that's great. Good day. Oh, sorry to keep you waiting, folks. Now, let me see. What kind of dog did you say you had?
A wire-haired terrier. Dad, Braddatt, I told you we didn't have a dog. Look. We got this official notice to come in and get a dog license.
But we haven't got a dog.
Yeah.
You're not concealing your dog to avoid paying the tax.
I tell you, we ain't got a dog.
No, we haven't had a dog for 7 years. And he was 15 years old then.
Yeah.
Well, that makes him 22 years old now. Remarkable age for a dog. You must be giving him wonderful care.
But for the last time, we haven't got a dog. We just come in here to protest against this notice.
And we refuse to buy a license for a dog we don't even own.
Oh, so you don't own the dog. Who does then?
Ah, nobody does. That's Braddatt anyway.
Oh, I see. A stray dog. Well, you'll still have to take out a license for him.
Now, listen here, my fine feathered friend. If you think for 1 minute
now,
that you...
Now, McGee, temper.
Oh, but look, Molly, they can't do this to me. I'll take this up with the mayor himself. I'll take it up to the United States Supreme Court. Yes, I'll do better than that. I'll tell Walter Winchell.
Oh, no.
Mark my words, Bud, you ain't heard the last of this.
I'm sorry, sir, but it's the law. Every dog must be licensed. And I regret to say it, sir, but I don't think you're the type of man who should be permitted to have a dog. Good day.
Did you hear what he says, Molly? I ain't the type that should have a dog. Why, I think more of that dog of ours than...
McGee!
Huh?
We haven't got a dog, remember?
Oh, yes. Well, come on, Molly. I'll get this thing straightened out before I leave the city hall, or my name ain't Fibber McGee. And speaking of Fibber McGee... I wonder whatever become of old Harlow Wilcox.
Well, for scream's sake, visiting Cupid. Well, fancy meeting you here, isn't it? Or is it? No, I guess it isn't.
Hello, Mr. DePopulis.
Hi, Nick. Say, we just had a session with the city license clerk, and it looks like we're in a jam.
Oh, my goodness, a jam session.
No. We got a notice that we have to buy a 1940 dog license or pay a fine and maybe go to jail.
Yeah, and we haven't got a dog, as you know very well, Mr. DePopulis.
No, but I knew very well the dog you used to have. A very intelligent K-7, too.
K-9.
Oh, was he that old, Fizzer? Anyway, that dog was a very smart dog. I think he must have studied medicine sometime, because he always knew where there was a bone buried in the muscles of my leg. Oh, but there's no hard feelings, Fizzer. It's all healed up now.
Yes, but we haven't had that dog for 7 years. So why should we buy a dog license now?
Yeah.
I think something has got you there, Cupid. But I hope it'll all come out in the wash, and I think it will, because they're certainly taking you to the cleaners. So long, Fizzer. Goodbye, Cupid.
The King's men sing Old King Cole.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He loved his pipe, and he loved his bowl, but he hated his fiddlers three.
Fiddle-diddle-dee with the fiddle, fiddle-diddle-dee went the vial.
Fiddle-diddle-dee with the big burly bumbo, fiddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-dee.
Fiddle-dee,
fiddle-dee with the fiddle,
fiddle-diddle-diddle-dee.
When old King Cole took his morning roll and his cup of hot coffee, his meal was lost and his temper crossed by the terrible fiddlers three.
Fiddle-diddle-dee went the fiddle, fiddle-diddle-dee went the vial.
Fiddle-diddle-dee went the big bass fiddle, fiddle-diddle-diddle-dee.
Fiddle-dee,
fiddle-dee,
fiddle-dee with the
fiddle-diddle-dee.
When old King Cole to the parlor stole for a nap on the royal settee, he heard the noise of those awful boys, those horrible fiddlers three.
Fiddle-diddle-dee went the fiddle, fiddle-diddle-dee went the file.
Oh, fiddle-diddle-dee went the big burly bumbo, fiddle-diddle-diddle-diddle-dee.
Fiddle-dee,
fiddle-dee,
fiddle-dee with a fiddle-diddle-dee.
The old King Cole, if he went for a stroll in the garden after tea, was at once pursued by the breathless brood, those maddening fiddlers three.
Fiddle-diddle-dee went the fiddle, fiddle-diddle-dee went the file.
Fiddle-dee with a
fiddle-diddle-dee.
Said old King Cole, I will shoot a hole right through those fiddlers three. He pulled the trigger and the good old gun discharged the fiddlers three.
Fiddle-diddle-dee went the fiddle, fiddle-diddle-dee went the vial.
Oh, shot through the middle was the big bass fiddle.
Old King Cole was a merry old soul, and a merry old soul was he. He pulled his pipe and he coughed and he bowled, but he buried his fiddler's three. His fiddler's three, he buried his fiddler's three. He buried his fiddler's, buried his fiddler's. The fiddler's three.
We haven't made much progress, dearie.
I know. I got a good notion to go back and argue with that license clerk some more.
Oh, I don't think it's worth all this fuss, McGee. They can't really send you to prison for not having a dog license for a non-existent dog.
You sure they can't?
Why, of course not.
Well.
And even if they do, you'll always know I'll be waiting for you.
Oh.
Yes, McGee, darling, I'll be there coming to see every visitor's day.
Oh, don't say that.
Seeing that you have cigarettes.
Oh.
And then when they do let you out, we'll take up our lives just where we left off.
Oh, my.
I'll stick by even if you are an ex-convict.
Molly, don't say
that. Why do I care what people say?
Oh, don't say that.
Let them talk.
No.
Let them say whatever
they
will.
Oh, stop it, Molly, stop it. Gee whiz. This is more serious than what I thought. I think I better go right up and see the mayor. That's what
oh,
I better do.
Oh, look, McGee, look.
Huh?
Here comes Mrs. Uppington.
Oh.
I wonder what she's doing in the city hall.
Probably going to complain about the public schools being too public.
Yeah. If she'd come down off her high horse long enough to let the saddle cool off, she... do, Mrs. Uppington. So nice to see you.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee.
Hi, Uppity.
Why, good heavens, Mr. McGee. You seem quite perturbed about something.
I am.
What is the matter?
Well, you'd be perturbed too, Mrs. Uppington, if you had to pay a tax on something you didn't have.
Yeah.
Oh, not at all, my dear. I pay just such a tax. I don't mind it a bit.
Oh, yeah? What did you pay a tax on that you ain't got?
Last year's income. Oh, really? No. Oh, say, wasn't that clever of me?
What are you doing in the city hall, Mrs. Uppington?
Oh, I'm just looking up some of the early historical facts about Wistful Vista, my dear. You see, we Uppingtons were practically the founders of this city, you know.
And so were the McGees, Uppy. In fact, the original McGee log cabin stood right here where this city hall is today.
Really? May have very interesting.
I didn't know that, McGee.
Oh, yes. Our living room was just about where the elevator is. Our kitchen was right over there. The bedroom on the left here. And our bathroom... Well, can you imagine that?
Why, what, Mr. McGee?
Uppy, you're standing right in our bathtub.
Oh, now, please, Mr. McGee, don't do that. Oh, goodbye.
Well, isn't she the one, though?
Yeah, I used to think she really had something on the ball, though I seen it was just a figure eight. Now, let's see, what was I so sore about?
The dog license.
Huh? Oh, yes. Dad, rat them guys anyway. Who do they think they are trying to make me pay for a license when
oh,
I haven't...
Hello there, McGee. What seems to be the trouble?
Oh, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Oh, go away, Gildersleeve. I ain't in any mood to bandy words with you.
Now, McGee, I'm sure Mr. Gildersleeve was just trying to be helpful.
Why, certainly.
Oh, yeah. Gildersleeve, you're about as much help as mumps to a sword swallower.
Is that so?
Yes, that's so.
Well, I'm not surprised you got yourself another mess, McGee.
Well...
You can get tangled up quicker than a cub bear with 40 feet of grapevine. Yeah. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Gildersleeve, as the Siamese twin says to his brother when they got appendicitis, one of these days we're going to have it out.
Well, for goodness sake, sometimes I wish you would. I'm getting tired of listening to you two boys trying to lasso each other with your vocal cords.
Well,
if he doesn't stop pestering me, I'll...
Pins,
needles,
cotton,
thimble.
What goes up the chimney?
Smoke.
May your wish and my wish never be broke.
What'd you wish, dearie?
I wish that Gildersleeve would go away. That's what I wish.
All right for you, McGee. But by George, one of these days you'll be sorry. When will you try and borrow my bow and arrow again?
Heavenly days, McGee. Why do you have to treat him like that? He's really very nice, you know.
He burns me up. I don't like his whole family either. They're all alike. Gildersleeve is just the bottom button on a long line of stuffed shirts.
Ah, dear. Well, this isn't getting that dog license taken care of. Where's the mayor's office?
I think it's up on the fourth floor, right next to the
all
elevator.
All right, that... you. You're wanted in the police commissioner's office.
Who is?
You.
Him?
Yes.
Oh. Well, what's this all about, officer? What have I done?
All I know is there was a complaint from the license department about you creating a disturbance by refusing to pay your dog tax. Now march along with you.
Oh, yeah. Now look here, you big oaf.
What was that you called me?
Well,
say?
Yes.
Is that something bad?
Certainly not. An oaf is a very valuable thing. You know the old saying, officer. Half an oaf is better than none.
None of your blarney now, McCushler. Well, come along with you to the commissioner's office and... No, wait a moment. Me shoe's untied. Hold on to me a minute here so I can keep me balanced tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, bud. I've been persecuted long enough.
There you go.
Hey, what?
Come on, Molly, run. They ain't going to put me in no prison.
I'm coming, McGee. Make for the side door.
Hey, come back here. Stop him, somebody. It's a fugitive from justice.
This way, Molly. Out here.
Hey, taxi. Taxi. More to stand the crevice and make it Portis.
Now what have we done, McGee? Now we are in trouble.
No, we ain't, Molly. I know what I'm doing.
Excuse me, Doc. I didn't quite get the address.
Take us to the governor's mansion, driver.
Okay, Senator.
The governor's mansion? But, McGee, we... After all, we can't take a measly little dog license case up with the governor.
I ain't going to.
Then what?
But he lives right across the street from a pet shop, and I'm going to buy a dog. Step on it, driver.
Before we continue, I'd like to take you for a moment on an imaginative journey to a well-known nursery school. The children are playing at their various projects, having a time of their lives. See how clean the walls and windows are, and look at the floors. They're covered with linoleum rugs as fresh and bright as the day they were bought. Now let me read you a letter we just received from the head of this school. I have been using your wonderful glow coat for the linoleum rugs on my nursery school floors for the past 5 years.
Well, I didn't buy the dog, Molly, after all.
Well, what made you change your mind, dearie?
Oh, I got to thinking it over, and I decided $2 a year for a license plus 2 bits a day for hamburger was too much, so I just bought the license.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Well, considering the fact that you worked like a dog to get it straightened out, you ought to wear the tag yourself.
That's what I thought. Look, Molly. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is Harlow Wilcox, speaking for the makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's Self-Polishing Glow Coat, inviting you all to be with us again next Tuesday night. Good night.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Fibber McGee and Molly on Tuned 2 yesterday from March 19, 1940, on NBC. At that time, they had been on the network for about 6 years, part of their Tuesday night lineup at 9:30, with a staggering 27.5 million people tuning into the program in 1940. This is an hour of comedy on Tuned 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Now, an episode of Wednesdays with You, an NBC broadcast from August 29, 1945.
Myers, makers of Salopatica for the smile of health and True Shave E-Beforehand Lotion, presents Wednesday with You. Starring Nora Martin, Fred Martell, Leonard Seuss, his orchestra, and yours truly, Harry Von Zell.
practice with your music, my boy. Remember, in 4 weeks, we leave this lodge and go back on the air with Eddie Cantor.
Oh, boy, I can hardly wait to get to Hollywood.
Yeah, you know, I hear that on Hollywood Boulevard, Leonard, since the war ended, even civilians have to shoo the girls away like flies.
That's always been my trouble.
Well, girls are always after you, huh?
No, the flies.
Are you anxious to get back with Eddie Cantor on the program, Harry?
I don't know about that, Nora.
You don't?
No, I don't know about that.
If Cantor wants me, he'll have to meet my terms, you know.
No.
Oh, yes. There'll be no quibbling this time. I'm going to demand more money, there must be less rehearsal, and he'll have to give me more lines to read.
But Harry, Mr. Cantor was here last week. Why didn't you speak up then?
What, and get fired?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, now that the war is over, I'm going to ask Mr. Cantor for a raise.
What, and start another war?
Fred Martell interprets Chopin's Polonaise.
Till the end of time, long as stars are in the blue, long as there's a string of birds to sing, I'll go on loving you. Till the end of time, long as roses bloom in May, my love for you will grow deeper with every passing day. Till the wells run dry and each mountain disappears, I'll be there for you, to care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in sweet surrender and tenderly say that I'm the one you love and live for till the end of time. To care for you through laughter and through tears. So take my heart in sweet surrender and tenderly say that I'm the one you'll love and live for till the end of time.
Leonard,
you know, I've been watching you. You've got a faraway look in your eyes. What's bothering you?
Well, I got to think of the future. If Mr. Cantor doesn't give me that raise, I'll quit. Yeah, I think I'd like to work in a post office.
In a post office? What future is there in that? Look, kid, even after you learn the trade, can you open your own post office? No, it's against the law. Besides, you've got a job here taking care of the bookkeeping.
Oh, I finished that. I checked those books 5 times.
Good.
Yeah, we made a profit of either $18,250,000 or...
Or what?
We've lost $1.98.
How can there be... Leonard, there must be something wrong with your addition. Now, you got to be careful with those books, kid. Look what happened to my uncle. He worked in a bank, you know, but he loved the horses.
Yeah.
Oh, one day he borrowed a large sum of money from the bank and bet it all on a long shot, you see.
Did his horse win?
No, the favorite came in first.
Who came in second?
The bank examiner.
Well, how did your uncle come out?
He comes out in 20 years.
Oh, Harry.
You have to be careful.
Yeah. I'll bet you made the whole thing up.
Now, how did he know I made
it? Yeah, I bet.
Well, I did, Leonard. You know, we would show a profit here if that Mr. Evelyn Trelawney would ever pay his bill.
Harry, I hate to correct you, but Mr. Trelawney is an Englishman.
Yeah.
And in England, a man's name is pronounced Evelyn, not Evelyn.
What? Is that Evelyn, is it?
Yeah.
Well, now I know how Evelyn ran up such a big bill.
How?
Keeps ordering ham and eggs all the time.
Oh, Harry, that's a bad joke.
Yeah.
Oh. And here comes our bad risk.
Oh, well, I'll talk to him. Mr. Trelawney, sir,
I'd like to have a word with you.
Righto.
Well...
Oh. That's clever. Remind me to have a word with you sometime. Cheerio.
I have a word right now that I don't think I'd better use. Cheerio. Look, Trelawney, let me get this straight now.
Righto.
Your bill here at the lodge is now $1,000. Now, are you going to pay or aren't you?
Do's it decent of you, old fruit.
What's decent?
Oh, giving me a choice.
Look, Bud, you don't... Either you pay up this bill or get out. I don't think you've got the money.
Don't be a ball. No money? Why, my dear fellow, I'll have you know that if it weren't for a current insufficiency of adequate currency, I would be completely solvent.
What?
I'm broke.
You're a bum.
Righto.
That's what I thought. High-class bum. And to think that we put on a fox hunt just for you.
Fox hunt? Bah, fox. A bedlam of noise. You saw the screaming, yoicks. Mr. Seuss kept yelling, yoicks. Mr. Martell kept shouting, yoicks.
Well, in a fox hunt, what's wrong with yoicks?
I, Evelyn Trelawney, riding to the hounds with a bunch of yoicks.
Oh, I see. Don't think that'll ever get on the hit parade, Leonard. Leonard, you know, I've got a hunch that the only thing English about that guy Trelawney is the stuff he puts on the cue ball in a pool room.
Oh, I knew he was no good the minute I saw his monogrammed shirts.
Well, I wear monogrammed shirts. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But Mr. Trelawney's shirts had somebody else's initials.
Oh, well, that shouldn't bother you, Leonard.
Oh, it doesn't bother me. They were your initials.
My shirts? How do you like that, bum? I'm going right upstairs and have a talk with that crook.
Talk with him? Why, with that phony accent, you can hardly understand what he's saying.
Yeah, he is the first guy I ever met who talks out of the side of his nose. Can't understand what...
Nobody could ever accuse you of that, Harry. You talk perfectly.
Oh, you just...
You really think so, Leonard? Indeed, I do.
Oh, I don't know. It isn't how I say it so much as what I say that really counts.
Do tell.
Oh, thank you. I will.
So for all the pigeon, and I so for Errol Flynn.
That's what I say, is an old so-and-so.
I shall never forget my greatest creation for that tall, handsome Gary Cooper.
Oh, him.
Yeah, there he stood all 6 feet, 3 inches of him. In my own exclusive one-piece design. Coat, waistcoat, trousers, combined without a single stitch or fastener.
What held it together?
Long zipper. And my sweaters are world famous. I made a crew neck sweater for Clark Gable, a V-neck type for Raymond Long. And then I made a beautiful turtleneck sweater.
Well, who was that for?
A turtle.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, Harry, this guy's crazy.
Look, Trelawney, now listen, I'm going to give you a much better break than you deserve.
Well, there you are.
If you're really a tailor, maybe we can make a deal here. Now, Eddie Cantor's radio season opens September 26th. It's a formal affair. Now, what do you think I should wear?
Well, the proper colors are most important.
Of course.
To be correctly attired, you should wear a black top hat, a white ascot tie,
mm-hmm.
and a gray frock coat.
Mm-hmm. What about pants?
Oh, by all means.
Oh, get out, get out.
How I knew my true love was true. I, of course, replied, something here inside cannot be denied. They said someday you'd find all who love are. And I gaily laughed to think they could doubt my love. Yet today my love has flown away. I am without my love. Now
cannot ride. So I smile and sigh when a lovely flame dies. Smoke gets in.
Leonard, I've solved the entire situation with that Trelawney guy. Look, he's going to make us 3 suits apiece for the money he owes us. You'll be here in a minute to fit us.
Gosh, Nora will sure be happy.
Nora? Well, what has Nora got to do with this?
Now I can give her back her slacks.
Oh,
there you are, Mr. Souse.
Souse?
I can't tell you how charmed I am at this chance of serving you.
Thank you. It'd be quite a feather in your cap making clothes for us. Yeah, an orchestra leader and a great radio comedian. Of course, you've heard Mr. Von Zell on the air.
Well, I only tune in my wireless to hear Jack Booney.
Booney? You ever listen to Amos and Undy?
Oh, yes, of course. Which one are you?
Madam Queen.
Mr. Trelawney, perchance. Perchance. You have a creation in mind for me.
I have a sweet ensemble. Yeah. A coat and 2 pair of pants. And please note that you must wear these trousers with a belt.
Oh, I say, can't he wear Sue Spooner's?
Well, he may, but they sometimes rip off the batoon.
Batoons, that's a good question.
Well, you could always sew them back on with a noodle and prune.
I like a sports suit, Mr. Trelawney. But remember, I don't want anything too loud.
Not too loud. Very well. This suit is one of my most conservative models and was worn by Hollywood's best-dressed men. It consists of red trousers, green vest, and a purple coat with just a dash of neon lights in the front.
Didn't you forget the bumper and the license plate?
What was that? What, and be conspicuous? Oh. Now, what manner of garment would you like, Mr. Von Zuhl?
Look, never mind that. What are you going to charge for these 6 suits?
Oh, my regular fee. 6 suits will come to 1,200 douleurs.
Douleurs? Oh. But you only owe us 1,000. Can't you make one of those suits at 50?
Well, if you insist, what...
Never mind. Here's my check for $50 and we're even.
Oh, thank you very much.
Now, wait a minute. What are you laughing at?
When you hear that... When you wear that $50 suit in the rain, Mr. Van Zuhl, how it will shrunk up on you.
Oh! When you take that $50 check to the bank, how it will bounce back on you.
Dreams, and they might come true.
lovely singing, Norris. They tell me, have you been doing lots of swimming?
Yes, I have, Harry.
Good. Taking long hikes, are you?
Every day, Harry.
You're not forgetting your setting up exercises.
No, Harry. But why are you so concerned about my athletic activity?
Well, Nora, by the time you get back to Hollywood, there'll be nylon stockings on the bargain counters, and you'd better be in condition, young lady.
Harry, I've gotten along without nylons for 3 years, so I can wait a couple of months.
Nora, you mean you haven't been wearing nylons?
No.
Then what makes your legs look so soft and smooth?
Harry!
Well, it's true.
No, it's crochet.
I thought she'd never say it.
I always say it. It's a fact. I always use crochet, not only for keeping my hands soft and smooth, but for keeping my legs the same way. It's wonderful.
Nora, that's what I keep telling them on the radio. Crochet, I say, it's terrific. For crochet is the before hand lotion, and a really new idea in hand lotions that's designed to help guard your hands, to help keep them soft and smooth. You use crochet before you do dishes or tub undies, because crochet will help guard your hands even in hot, soapy water. Of course, you can use Touche as you use any other hand lotion, but remember, Touche gives you the added plus of beforehand protection when you need it. You'll find creamy, fragrant Touche really different, really helpful for rough legs, knees, and elbows, as well as hands. So why don't you begin today to use Touche?
Wednesdays with you on Tuned to Yesterday, what has survived from that broadcast, first heard on NBC on August 29th, 1945. And before this hour of comedy comes to a close, we have a moment to play one of my favorite pieces of radio from Harry Von Zell, who we just heard. During radio's golden age, he was an announcer for many programs and a well-known one at that. And he appeared on the Behind the Mic series to explain how he usually warmed up a studio audience before a major broadcast.
I'm going to call on him to show you what is meant by warming up a studio audience. Harry Von Zell. Hello, Harry. How are you?
Know that song, or I could sing a few bars of it to get started. Graham didn't say so, but I think I'd better mention that this sample of a warm-up speech that I'm going to do is the one that I've been doing with the Fred Allen Show. That's a comedy program. And before we go on, 5 or 10 minutes before we go on the air, I hobble out and start this speech. I say, ladies and gentlemen, we have but a very few moments before taking the air. And before that time, we'd like to welcome you here and express to you our thanks for the kind interest which prompts your visit to our broadcast. It's the usual procedure before going on the air for some little man like myself to hobble out and run through a brief recitation of the technical problems we face in the presentation of radio programs. We do that because your understanding of those problems and your cooperation can aid us immeasurably in meeting them. Of course, the most important element is the time element. You know, in radio, when your half hour is up, you go off whether you're ready or not. You can't hang over at the finish, you know. So this fact has resulted in some very unsatisfactory finishes for radio programs. You probably have heard it sometime or other, some poor worried announcer signing off a program in very hurried fashion with words to the effect, "Don't forget to run out in the morning and buy a tube of National Broadcasting Company." It has happened, and of course that only results in bewildering the poor listener who naturally never had any idea that you could buy the National Broadcasting Company by the tube. So we naturally try to avoid that by having as much flexibility as possible in the running time of the show. One means of achieving that desired flexibility is to seek your cooperation in the matter of applause. We ask that during the broadcast you allow us to give you a signal when it's time to stop applauding. We don't like you to overdo it. I think I had better add, too, so as to avoid any possible misunderstanding, that while we do cue the applause in the interest of saving time, there is at no time during the program any signal of any kind given when it's time to laugh. We wouldn't like to feel that if Mr. Allen or somebody here says something funny, that you were sitting there choking back gales of uproarious laughter waiting for someone here to tell you to let it fly. Quite to the contrary. Any time you think you have heard anything funny, you just go ahead and react in any way that suits you best, be it either a giggle, titter, or guffaw. And at such times as that may happen, we here on the stage, a little surprised and very grateful, Immediately stop whatever we're doing and hang around until you grow weary of laughing. Then we plunge blindly on into the next bit of hilarious higgledy-piggledy, hoping for more bursts of gay chortles throughout the show. Sometimes we get them and sometimes we don't. Well, we only have 30 seconds now before taking air. It's not as much fun as taking gas, but we sincerely hope that when you leave this studio tonight, you leave feeling that you have enjoyed one of the happiest hours of your life. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Harry Von Zell on Behind the Mic from 1940. And that does it for this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.